Hello, and welcome to Prickly, a podcast from KJZZ's Politics Desk. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Cameron Sanchez.
And I'm Wayne Shutsky.
In our last episode, we brought you an interview with the Arizona Republican Party Chair, Gina Swoboda, who was reelected to her post in January after overseeing a very successful election season for the GOP. Unlike Republicans, the Arizona Democratic Party chose to go in a different direction when they picked their new leader this year. Right, Wayne?
That's right. Democrats elected Robert Branscombe in somewhat of a surprise election over the incumbent Yolanda Bejarano. Democrats had a less successful 2024, we'll say. They lost the popular vote for president in Arizona, two close congressional races. They ceded ground in both chambers of the state legislature. But even with that, Branscombe's victory was still a bit of a surprise because Bejarano was backed by top Democrats throughout the state, like Governor Katie Hobbs and U.S. Senator Mark Kelly.
So before we talk about why there was an upset, who is this person? Who is Robert Branscombe?
Branscombe was elected the party's vice chair 2 years ago when Bejarano had taken over as party chair. And he told me he could trace his involvement in the party back to the election of President Barack Obama. He initially had attended a rally in California. He was invited by a friend, and he saw Obama speak. And he ended up actually volunteering and then working for the DNC during Obama's first election to the presidency. And he said a real pivotal moment was actually witnessing Obama's speech in person, accepting the nomination in Denver in 2008.
I was there in Denver in the stadium, and it really captivated me because, you know, Senator Barack Obama was motivating people to get out and do something. You know, yes, we can. So when I returned back here to Arizona, I started getting involved in some of the local committees, city, state, nonprofit organizations. Chaired one of the city planning out in Levine for a few years, sat on some advisory boards. Then again, went back to work for the DNC in 2012 for the president's reelection.
What led him to challenge Bejarano this year? There were some issues in the party beyond the disappointing election results in 2024, right?
That's right. Before the leadership election, another outgoing vice chair had raised flags about alleged self-dealing by the treasurer of the party, Rick McGuire. They alleged he took a lot of money, tens of thousands of dollars in payments, to answer financial questions from other party members, which I think some folks thought should have been part of his job as the treasurer rather than, you know, getting paid separately to do that. So Bejarano had called the concerns misplaced, but others in the party had called for an internal audit of the issue. And if anyone wants to learn more about that, the Capital Times did a really good report on that. But for his part, Branscombe didn't actually bring up those allegations when I asked him why he ran against Bejarano.
Well, you know, I don't think so much as the party was going a different direction. I just believe that the times dictated it. And I had a vision that I wanted to see or enact to see the party do. I believe that, you know, we have to get down to more of the grassroots. And like anything else, after an election or a change is always necessary. And I thought it was a good time for the change.
Did he say what his vision looks like and how it maybe differs from previous party leadership and the lessons that he learned from 2024?
I asked him about that. I kind of wanted to know what messaging he thought failed to reach voters last year. You know, Democrats leaned heavily into abortion rights, for instance, and that was a popular ballot measure with voters, but it didn't seem to trickle down to other candidates. Branscombe says he believes the party ran strong candidates last year, but that the messaging might have been off. And in this following exchange, I asked him about where Democrats underestimated voter concerns. And then in terms of messaging, we've seen the party, especially in Arizona, really lean into reproductive rights lately. Obviously, Prop 139 last year was very successful. We had repeal of the territorial or abortion ban. But again, that's another issue where maybe it resonated on the ballot with the proposition itself, but maybe not with some of the candidates that were supporting it. What are some of the issues that you see going forward as being those top issues that you think will resonate with voters, things like whether it's the border, the economy, what have you? What are you seeing as those trends going into 26?
I think all those things that you just mentioned wrap up into one thing, is the economy. That's what people are mostly concerned with. They want to make sure they can provide food for their family, housing, a good education, health care. All that leads back to the road to economy. And that's the message that we want to make sure we get across to them, because it's the message that they told us in this last election. That's what's important to him. I mean, abortion is very important. Don't get me wrong. That was something that, you know, needed to be done. Illegal immigration. You know, we want comprehensive immigration. So we're not against immigration. We want comprehensive. We want to make sure that people have a path to come become a citizen of the United States and it's legal. But, you know, everything comes back to the economy. You know, the people who come here looking for jobs, you know, right now the Trump administration, you know, they're cutting jobs. They're doing things that are harming everyday Arizonans. And we're just not going to tolerate that as Democrats. That's not who we're about.
So connecting better with the grassroots Democrats is one thing, but Arizona Republicans and independents outnumber the Dems. So how are they planning to attract those other voters that they need to win elections in Arizona?
He says there will be a focus on increasing voter registration in a year-round effort, but also acknowledge the need to deliver messages that resonate with all voters, not just Democrats. To kind of drill into that, I asked him about the votes that Senators Ruben Gallego and Mark Kelly made this year on immigration issues. You know, both Gallego and Kelly have won statewide elections, which Democrats are going to hope to continue in 2026. But those votes, like the Lake and Riley Act, for instance, may have appealed to the larger Arizona voter base, but didn't always sit well with grassroots Democrats. Do you think in a place like Arizona, where, you know, voter registration does favor Republicans, and we've seen certain Democratic officials, our U.S. senators, our governor, maybe lean into some issues that Democrats wouldn't have in the past, border security, the Laken Riley Act, things like that. Do you think the party should be following their lead on that, or do you think it should be more, attentive to maybe some of its base who has been upset by the fact that people like Senator Gallego have backed legislation like the Laken Riley Act?
Well, you know, our elected officials, especially our senators, you know, they have a tough job. And so as a party, we know that they're doing the best for the people of Arizona, you know, because they care about Arizonans. My job and the Democratic Party is to make sure that we solidify our base, reach out to our base, and give them the opportunity to ask those questions. I know Senator Gallego just recently had a town hall to let people air their differences or inform them. I know Senator Kelly is going to do the same thing. And as a party, we have to do the same thing that we have to do. The citizens of Arizona, you know, deserve answers to the questions, and we're going to be there to answer their questions. As I see it right now, none of the Republicans are doing that. They're not, you know, holding town halls or listening to the people. We want to make sure, especially our higher elected officials like the governor, secretary of state, our attorney general, you know, they're making sure that all Arizona's rights are being protected, and they're doing a fine job of that right now.
He didn't really answer the question, did he?
He didn't, but he did say Democrats should be listening to voters and not shying away from facing them when they make those controversial decisions. That, along with listening sessions like A.G. Mays is holding, are a key part of the way Branscombe says he thinks Dems can reconnect with voters.
Well, the resonate with voters is, first of all, you have to go out and talk to them and listen. We have listening sessions. We're going to have town halls. We need to find out where their concerns are. And once we can do that, we can elevate that message back up to the elected officials so we can ensure them that we hear them. I think that's the best thing that we can do as a party to make sure that we hear our constituents. We are the party of the working class. We have to make sure that people know that we're still fighting for them like we do every day. Our elected officials across the state and in the federal side of it are out there doing what they need to do to make sure all Arizonans have the right to have a good economy, to a good education, to health care, all those things.
And it does seem that there have been a lot of town halls from Democrats this year. It will be interesting to watch those listening sessions continue to play out and see whether they resonate enough with voters to build Democratic momentum going into the next election.
Thank you for listening to the Prickly Podcast. Tune into 91.5 and follow us at kjzz.org.
And please subscribe to Prickly wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks again. We'll see you next time.